Happy Friday, kiddos. You're listening to First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Of course, we're also simulcast on ESPN News. My name is Clinton Yates. The program is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can tweet me, at Clinton Yates. You know your boy from the undefeated, around the horn, now or never. You might have seen me on Outside the Lines, but today, I'm with you for the next 2 hours. So give me a call. Join the conversation. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. 1-888-729-3776. We're going to get into the topics of the NFL team from my hometown. But first, we got some headlines for things you need to know. Major League Baseball officially canceled the 2020 All-Star Game on Friday and announced that the 2022 game would be played at Dodger Stadium. The Los Angeles Dodgers had been set to host this year's All-Star Game on July 14th before the coronavirus pandemic disrupted the start of the 2020 MLB season. The 2021 All-Star Game will be played in Atlanta. Switching to basketball, five-star senior Mecur Maker announced his commitment to Howard University on Friday morning, becoming the highest-ranked college basketball prospect to commit to a historically black college or university. Those are known as HBCUs in my household since the ESPN recruiting database started in 2007. Maker chose the Bison over UCLA, although Kentucky and Memphis were also on his final list of four schools. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks while saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, y'all, for those of you who don't know who I am, I was born and raised in the capital of the United States of America. I'm nearly 40 years old. I like a lot of sports, but one of the teams that I followed, obviously, since I was a kid, and the first NFL game I ever went to, plays in Landover, Maryland. The team has a nickname. All of you all know the nickname. The team has what we would call a controversial owner. And in these last 2 days, a couple of very interesting news items have come to the forefront that will probably decide the fate of this team's mascot going forward. Number one, FedEx, the sponsor of the stadium, pointed out the fact that they have been in talks with the franchise and indicated to them that a name change is something that they would desire. Why does that matter? Well, because it's not just a bunch of people, for lack of a better term, standing outside a stadium. It's real money, real sponsors, and that's something that the NFL pays attention to, no doubt about it. The next thing that happened, Nike reportedly removed all items from search that had that name on it on their site. That is a huge deal. Nike is the apparel sponsor for the NFL. So for whatever reason, they ain't selling nothing. That is as big a signal as any that change is afoot. Now, there's been all sorts of reports about what this may mean, about who's talking to whom. And I'll tell you this, we're going to get into this today. Because I have quite a few feelings on this. I used to write at the Washington Post where this was something that was discussed frequently as a matter of not just business, but a matter of social importance as well. We're going to get way into that, and your boy has many thoughts, including what I think the name could be should they choose to change it. However, this morning, Stephen A. Smith, he had some breaking news about how they might be changing their name on First Take. It was him, Dominique Foxworth, and Louis Riddick.
I got information from a very, very reliable source. Daniel Snyder will change the name of the Washington Redskins. It is going to happen.
Wow. Any timeline on that?
It's going to happen. How soon? How? I do not have a timeline on that, but as I predicted, it would be before the season. It will be before the season. I'm told from a very reliable source, the name will of the Washington Redskins will be changed.
That is
That's
fantastic.
Huge and amazing news.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's surprised on that. Correct. That is shocking that it happened so quickly, but times are changing. It's a lot of pressure on everybody. And now the next step is we got to figure out what the name is going to be. So I'm sure, Stephen A., since you got all the insight, you can make some suggestions at some point.
Have they tossed around
any
options?
I'll take
options
them from Lauren Lewis. How am I? I don't know.
Look, I think you know, what we've been talking about all morning long is, look, money talks, man. Mm-hmm. There's some very, very powerful individuals who, like, I mean, just think about this for a minute. Think about what, how much, I mean, $620 billion worth of assets. I mean, think about that number. That number is staggering. That's the power with which people came with to these companies like FedEx and Nike That's, and Pepsi, that's the power that they came with and said, make this happen. Make the call now. It's bad for business, man. You cannot be a racist and have that kind of mascot in today's environment. It will be detrimental to your business in ways, I'm sure, in which they have never, ever seen. You have no choice. It's as simple as that. But the people I talked to, they said he has no choice. End of story.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that in this situation, it's the money that talks and moves this. But I do find it interesting that it's capitalism in this situation that is kind of pushing in the direction of addressing injustice when traditionally I'm not sure that anybody would suggest that has been the impact of capitalism on a society. It seems to exasperate inequality rather than address it. So I guess that's the tools that we have and it's the tools that we use. But I'm not sure what the future holds for that team as far as names and what they're going to do going forward. But I think it's probably going to be a boon to the league and a boon to this local economy and a boon to that team getting off of that that logo, which is offensive, and that name, which is offensive, and moving towards some new situation. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can turn it around before the season starts, because I suspect that they're not going to send them out there without a name, or certainly not with that name.
1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Join the conversation. What do you think the best case scenario is for Dan Snyder in this situation? 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. All right, let me tell y'all something. A couple weeks back, when NASCAR made the showstopper of an announcement that they were banning the Confederate flag at all races and events that they could control, the first thought on my mind went to Dan Snyder. Why? It's pretty simple. The Confederate flag is the single biggest symbol of hatred that this country has actively sponsored and found a way to display, no matter what the public-facing scenario was, well into and well past its general usefulness to the globe. Now, if NASCAR can find a way to ban such an ugly symbol, well, then we're living in a different world, y'all. We're not in the same place we were even a month ago. Because if folks can finally say, we ain't hanging that, well, then the general discussion around everything else that is ostensibly racist and offensive has to change and has. You heard Lewis Riddick say it. Lewis Riddick, by the way, used to work in the front office for that team, so understand where he's coming from. It's uglier than ever, and it's written all over everybody's face. I don't even use that word, and I'm a fan of the team. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan in the context of, you know, my friends, my family, everybody I know from my hometown roots for the team. Do I really care if they win or lose? Probably not, but that has as much to do with how much I care about the NFL in general overall. I watch football for the experience, and it's fun. I don't really care who wins. But my point is this. There are a lot of people who would be very, very, very happy to see this name changed. Because it's hard, dog. I talk to people who believe themselves to be upright, upstanding citizens in America. But they use the word every day. And I'm not going to sit here and fight that fight with each individual over how they use that word. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to use it. And I'm as much in the target demo of people who should and do care about it as anybody. The first season I went to an NFL's game was the last time that stupid team won the Super Bowl. I was at every single home game that year as a 10-year-old, including two playoff games. It fundamentally formed why I care about football. RFK Stadium. Big time place in my heart. Me and my father going down there, listening to go-go bands on the street, walking into the daggone joint, bouncing in the crowd, singing that stupid song, all of it. And when they went to Rowell John, as it was called then, in Landover now, kept the tickets. And when Daryl Green retired, I went to that last game and stopped going just because. But don't try to tell me that I don't understand what this is about. This is directly correlated to my lifeblood as a sports fan. It is extremely important. If they change that daggone name, I might actually start spending my money sometime around that franchise. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Joining us right now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line is my brother, Jason Reed, ESPN senior NFL writer. Jay Reed, what's going on, fam?
Hey, man, how we doing?
I'm doing good, man. I was just explaining to the people that they got to understand that for brothers like me from D.C. who have grown up in and around this franchise, this is real. This isn't just some political thing. This isn't just some arbitrary discussion. This is about how this team represents itself to the people that care about them in the city. Now, tell me a little bit something about where we are, because you've been covering this team forever. For us at The Undefeated, as well as The Washington Post, and you're as well informed and connected on this as anybody we could have got on the line. How do you think this has all come to be so quickly in this span of time?
Well, yeah, it obviously this has been going on for a very long period. As you said, you know, you were talking about it in the intro, and clearly we are at a different moment. And the thing is, it's about as much as the internal pressure as it is the external pressure. Obviously, the fact that we're in this climate in this country with this reckoning occurring with race after many high-profile incidents, obviously the George Floyd 846 has caused a lot of people to reevaluate what they thought they knew about race relations in America. And the situation with the Redskins, I don't use that name anymore. I just now refer to it as Washington Football Franchise. Mm-hmm. But the situation is that the NFL is trying to take a stance where it wants to be part of the solution in ending racism. That's what the league is saying, okay? And when you have the league putting that out, that they want to be part of the solution, regardless of how anybody feels whether they really will be part of the solution, but that's what they're saying, it undercuts the narrative that the league is trying to put out there when you have a team with this name. So the internal pressure coupled with the external pressure has created a situation where this is a done deal. I mean, and I would submit that this has been done for some time. I think that there were some very frank discussions that were had over the last month. And the statement that came out today from the team that they're examining it, that's just to provide cover. The reality is the situation is no longer tenable, and it has to change.
We're talking with Jason Reed, ESPN senior NFL writer for The Undefeated here on First Take, Your Take. My name is Clinton Yates, here with you for the rest of the afternoon. Jay Reed, man, I got to tell you, brother, we live in D.C. We got family in D.C. This is borderline shocking to me from more than just a news standpoint, but from a general societal point. You talk to fans, you know who these people are. What are you hearing about this just on a basic people talking to you level in terms of what they feel? Because I know that this is a pretty huge deal, something that was on the list of things we never thought we might see in our lifetimes. And now it is very much at the forefront. How are you feeling about this just in general overall?
Well, I've had a lot of people hit me up on my timeline, and people I know who've emailed me and called me about it over the last 48 hours or so. You're right, it is a monumental thing. And I was at the Post, the Washington Post, from 2007 to 2015. I think you were there from, eight or nine?
I was there for a while, yeah.
Okay. and so I agree with you in that I don't think either one of us ever thought we'd see this day, in part because Daniel Snyder, the owner of the team, had come out and said he would never change the name. So this is a monumental thing. You talk to people in D.C. right now and in the Northern Virginia area, the DMV area, they will tell you that they're stunned. A lot of people are very angry about this, though. You know, there are a lot of longtime fans of the team who supported Snyder's decision to say he would never change the name. So, yeah, there's a lot of support for this, but there are also a lot of people who will feel betrayed when it officially is changed.
On top of the money matter regarding FedEx as a sponsor stepping in and saying that they've talked to the franchise, and on top of the Nike situation in terms of what apparently was some sort of I don't even know what to call that, but just canceling of the items from their website, there's another issue. There's a legitimate political issue that has to do with, of course, their stadium. Right now they play out in Landover, but for those who don't understand, Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's the district delegate, you know, for D.C., she basically said, y'all ain't coming back to D.C. to build a stadium unless you change the name. And that is always of an interesting value, I think, for a lot of people in the area. Can you explain to folks what that means in terms of where they've been with the stadium discussion over the last 3, 4, 5 years and how that affects this whole topic?
Yeah, well, they've wanted to get out of Landover for a long time. It's one of the worst fan experiences. The access in and out of the stadium is not good. And when the team was at its height, obviously, in terms of popularity, in terms of success, it was in D.C. You've just talked about it. It was at RFK. And to get back to RFK, this name is going to have to change. That there's not going to be any public support to allow the franchise to get what it wants most, to be back in that hub and that energy in a brand new sparkling gem of a stadium, unless it changes. So from a political standpoint, from an economic standpoint, this all makes sense. Now, the thing that has been holding it up in large degree is that the owner was adamant he didn't want to do this. And I've had people in the organization tell me one of the reasons he didn't want to do it is because there is a fear that going away from that name, going away from Riggo and the Hogs. Riggo never carried the ball for a team with a different name. The Hogs didn't play for a team with a different name. And if there's continued failure over another 5-10 year period, well, what are you getting people to still believe in? But the name has to change for many reasons, and one of them is, like you said, if they want to get that stadium, which they clearly do, that's the road to do it.
Last thing I'll ask you, Jason, which is, of course, about what you just said. The success of the team plays a big part in this. Dan Snyder, as an individual, a businessman, has been milking every dollar out of a failing franchise for the greater part of 20 years, and dragging out all those old legends is the only trick he has in his book that he's played multiple times a season to try to distract people from other things. How much do you think the lack of success on the field plays into this element at this point?
Oh, I think it's a huge element, man. I think that, look, you're talking about a franchise that for basically going on a generation now has not just been mediocre. There have been periods of just being a pure laughing stock nationally. And then you couple that with just not many good years of a win-loss record, it adds up. Now, there's hope with Ron Rivera as the new head coach, and there's hope that, hey, maybe they can move forward. Dwayne Haskins is a young quarterback. They believe in him. You know, they're hoping he can do the things that they need him to do. And now with the name change, okay, if they have some success when the name is initially changed and then they can have stability, well, then maybe they can keep that tie to the past by actually winning and say, hey, look, these people didn't play for the team with this name, but the team is successful now, and that's still part of our history. But look, it's definitely a risk, I think, for Snyder, because if you change the name and this nonsense continues, you have no more tricks to trot out.
Yeah, he's Jason Reed. He's an ESPN senior NFL writer with us, The Undefeated. Check him out. Thank you, Jay Reed.
Anytime, my man.
Jay Reed touched on a couple things, but he's right. The bottom line is that this is monumental. And let me specifically reference a monument that came down regarding this team. Open up your Google box, kiddos. George Preston Marshall. Look him up. Last guy to integrate in the NFL. And he didn't do it out of the kindness of his heart. And if you go over to the Google image search of said dude, you're going to find some wild stuff. My man had a statue outside of RFK, a plaque, if you will, with his ugly mug on it. It's probably a better description, that just got torn down a couple weeks ago. Your boy went down there about 5 years ago to ask the people who run the facility, what's going on with this? They said, I don't even know. Nobody even asked about it before because people forgot. Monuments to racists still existed in very full color in front of RFK this year. That's come down as well. So the fact that we're here right now, you better believe I'm shocked. As a resident of the District of Columbia, as a native of the District of Columbia, and as somebody that's a fan of that team. Coming up, we're going to take more of your calls on this matter, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. But first, take your take. Clinton Yates on ESPN Radio. First take, your take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. My name is Clinton Yates. You know your boy from The Undefeated, as well as Around the Horn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. We're asking you, What do you think is the best case scenario for Daniel M. Snyder as far as the name change for his NFL team? Now, let me tell y'all this, and I'm going to get into this a little bit more later, but we're going to break it down now. There's a couple things about the name change that we need to be honest about regarding the discussion. There are two separate things at hand here. Number one, changing the name to something that people are going to like. That's one part of it. But it is connected to potentially changing the name to something that is going to reckon with what the name is now. Now, can you do two things, or rather one thing, that can satisfy both? Perhaps. My personal opinion is that you should change the name to the Americans. Why? Because, in fact, that to me feels like more of an inclusive honor if you're claiming to care about Native peoples and their contributions and creation of so many things on this land that we call the United States of America. Number two, it also happens to be the old scientific terminology for the peoples of this land. You had your Europeans, you had Asians, you had Africans, and you had Americans. And these old science journals, when they referred to Americans, they weren't talking about people that came over on the Mayflower. They were talking about the folks of the country, of the soil, of the land. That makes some level of sense to me. If you really want to take it a step farther, it fits into the entire ecosystem of all the other DC teams to some extent. We'll save the Wizards on that. That doesn't even really matter right now. But if you want to think about the Capitals and the Nationals and you care about that kind of thing, which is important, it fits in as well. However, that cannot be the priority in changing the name for me. Because if it sounds like something, just like something that was a slur in people's minds, well, then you haven't actually made the growth in terms of what is wrong with the nickname right now to begin with. I know y'all love Red Tails. I get it. I get that it also honors separately something else. But there's just a part of me that feels like too many people are riding on something that sounds a little too close to something that's been messed up for a long time. I don't know if that's the best solution to this obvious problem. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. You're listening to First Take, Your Take. My name is Clinton Yates. Michael in South Dakota, what up? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to be on your radio station. Say, I'm listening to you, and I'm telling you that the states across America, where the term Redskins comes from, the origin of that term is very offensive. I'm an enrolled member of the Ahantuan Oyate, the Yankton Sioux tribe of South Dakota. I'm in the Black Hills right now, protesting against racism. And the term Redskins, the origin comes from the term when states would place bounties on Native American peoples. You could actually get paid money to kill Native Americans, and they placed more of a bounty on a warrior, but those bounties included the scalps of children, of babies and women, as well as men, and if you turned in a scalp, if you proved that you killed a baby, a Native American baby, you got so much money, and the state of California itself paid over $12 million out for scalps of Native American people. So that term is extremely offensive to us Native Americans, and I think that also that the Cleveland Indians really need to take a look at themselves as well.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. And he touches on an interesting point there. Don't jump in my mentions, you bird brains, telling me about polls that a newspaper I used to work for did. I don't need no poll to tell me what's wrong when I know the historical significance of something. It's not just about what somebody can get away with because it makes them more comfortable. To me, it's about right and wrong. And when you know better, what you choose to do after that. This is an easy one for me, y'all. If you don't want the name to change, just come out and admit that you like it better than you do, feeling bad about what it could mean. Be honest with yourself. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. John in Massachusetts, what's up?
Hey, Clinton, I just wanted to let you know that I'm a veteran. I have a Purple Heart. I have two Bronze Stars, and that kneeling for the flag, as I always said, was about the flag. and it was about the national anthem. I will never watch another sport again, including the NFL, and you're going to lose a lot of veterans. I'm also a Native American, so and let me tell you, I don't find the term offensive, and there's many Native Americans that don't find it offensive, and I know that there's some veterans that don't find it offensive that the people kneel during the national anthem, but there are some that do. So if you're going to cater to
hold on a second. Let me ask you something, John. John, hold on. Well, let me ask you something. What does the flag have to do with kneeling during the national anthem?
They raise the flag and they play the national anthem during the during that, and it's disrespectful to take a knee during
Let me finish my point.
Okay, I'll listen to you because it's your show. I mean, I don't want to be
disrespectful to whom is what I'm asking.
It's disrespectful to veterans that find it offensive, the same way that the Redskins is, the same way that it's offensive to go to a gay funeral or to go to a military funeral and protest like a gentleman did, or to go to gay weddings and protest. It's allowed. It's in America, but it's disrespectful, and it's disgusting. And just to let you know, Black Lives Matter is a disingenuous, violent, racist organization.
John, let me ask you a question. John, let me ask you this, though. What do you feel about flag code being violated regularly by NFL teams in their displays of the colors?
The flag code?
Correct.
And how are they disrespecting it? I'm not aware of it, and I'd be glad to
violating the flag code. You're not supposed to you're not supposed to hold the flag in the ways that they do when they display it before games. Does that bother you? Like
holding it when it's like a giant flag and like 1,000 people are holding it.
Whatever the case may be, there's 3 or 4 things in flag code. Does that bother you as much as Colin Kaepernick or any other player kneeling if they're disrespecting the flag?
Obviously, anything they do that's disrespectful to the flag. Like I said, I'll never watch another sport again, and they're going to play a different national anthem that they're not going to kneel for, you know, before the games, too. I mean, you think that that's right? You think getting rid of the 4th of July is right? Like, I used to live in South Dakota, too, and they're going to try to get rid of the Mount Rushmore and all these national monuments? I mean, then you might as well get rid of everything. I mean, they're talking about getting rid of white Jesus in churches. Is that what you want to do, too? Is that something you think is good?
You might want to talk to some of your friends outside of this network, and they'll tell you an opinion on that one is, yes, thanks for the phone call. ESPN Radio, First Take, your take. I'm Clinton Yates. Penzo synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Penzo oil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. John had a lot to say there, but you know, these things are not all interconnected. We don't have to go all the way on this. The fact of the matter is that if this many people are upset by it and it's messing up the money, that's when things are going to change. Because that's what I'm talking about here. It's the overall climate of how everything looks. Where when you put everything up on the mantle, if you will, and you say, what's wrong with this picture? Daniel M. Snyder's team is the one thing that is most obviously wrong with the picture. From an optics standpoint, there's just no way around that. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Spencer in Missouri, you're on the air.
Man, Clinton, I don't even know what to say after that last guy. I respect the hell out of you, and honestly, I love tuning in whenever you're on any of your platforms. You're a great Twitter follow, too. But I'm going to drop some history and some context, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Us white people came to these continents, and we genocided the Native Americans, and the ones that we couldn't kill, we forced them to move to the worst geographical locations with the most minimal access to resources, and we have just completely ignored them. We have rewritten and revised history so that those people are insanely disenfranchised. I've spent months of my time working on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And a lot of those people there, they do not feel like they are part of the United States at all. They do not feel valued. I can't speak for all of them, obviously, but they're literally my friends. Like, and I've had conversations with them that are ongoing, and they are just so discouraged and like, they're just constantly ignored by everybody, the government, the media, and the fact that there is still a team in the NFL in the year 2020 that has a racial slur with those violent, heinous origins is just unacceptable. I don't care what anybody says. And I just, man,
I don't know what to say.
I get it,
man. I just am really discouraged, and I love your show, Clinton. Just keep being you, and let's move this country in the right direction.
Thanks for the phone call, man. I get it, bro. It's frustrating. Because ultimately, the question comes back to, Doug, what are you defending? You know? You're defending the legacy of Joseph Jackson Gibbs? I love that guy as much as the next person. But I daggone sure ain't going to sit there just so I can think about a couple of single, you know, standard definition highlights from the 80s and the 90s. And I was there. You know what I'm saying? What are you holding on to by holding on to this name? And think about that. Because you know ultimately what you're holding on to is something selfish. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Mike in South Carolina. What's good?
Clinton, what's going on, man?
Chilling, man.
Man, first off, you're dope. I appreciate you, man, being on the radio. I always love listening to you. Secondly, in response to Ed, I'm going to say, Clinton, that moron judge who stated kneeling during the national anthem was offensive to veterans. I myself am a veteran of the United States Air Force, served my country proudly. He must not have heard the story about behind the backdrop of what Colin Kaepernick, the ex-Green Beret that he spoke with, who told him not to sit but to kneel, and told him the significance of kneeling during the national anthem. And I've seen my brothers in arms across all branches of the military kneeling at several different occasions. I've seen caskets come across a flight line in Afghanistan, and there is nothing offensive about kneeling during the national anthem. And like it or not, people like John, that's what us real veterans, that's what we defend. We defend the right to anybody to kneel, to protest, to do whatever it is that they feel necessary to get their point across as a member of the military. So he was off base, and I appreciate and applaud your professionalism. You're a consummate professional, and just keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the phone call. First take, your take. My name's Clint Yates, and that's what it comes down to. A veteran suggested it. So don't give me this logical fallacy that it's somehow offensive. It wasn't even his idea. And if you're going to be so mad about all this other stuff, why aren't you mad about how they display the flag since apparently it's disrespected all over the place? You're going to tell me all this other noise about what's so offensive? Well, then why don't you use the same rules for things that people do that are people you like? Don't insult our intelligence. We know better. We have to. Coming up, we will continue to take your calls on this matter, Washington's team name. Plus, a high schooler may have just changed the entire landscape of college athletics. It's First Take, Your Take. I'm Clinton Yates. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Of course, we're simulcast on ESPN News. My name is Clinton Yates, filling in for Jason Fitz here on a Friday. The show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. I'm in a foul mood today, which means I'm smiling. So take your chances. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Greg, you're in California. So am I. How are you today?
Yes, I am. And I wanted to say that my mother-in-law is a card-carrying Native American. She actually calls herself Indian because the reservation she comes from in Montana, most of themselves call themselves Indian. Just like not everybody has the same opinion or belief on the subject, even, you know, within the Native American, however you want to couch it, they don't have the same thing. Plus, Native Americans, I've been there on the reservation for the 4th of July. They honor the flag. They see the flag as important because they value the warriors and they value veterans. Now, you kneeling for the flag, the question is, what are you really kneeling for? It's a bigger conversation. If you're kneeling for a certain specific reason, you're allowed to do that. That's why people died, fought and died. But what are you really kneeling for? If you're kneeling for you hate cops, as somebody did with wearing anti-cop socks, that's a different subject. And that still can be offensive, but you're allowed to kneel. And it has to be a bigger discussion about everything else couched, because sometimes we're okay with certain things. Hey, I'm of Italian origin. I'm American, but you know, things like just even in the popular culture, people accept racist. You could argue some people would say it's racist, like Luigi and Mario from the Mario Brothers. That's an Italian stereotype. Well, I don't have a problem with it. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. Don't call me up concerned trolling me with nonsense arguments about what the difference is between portrayal and what the difference is between a problem. Okay? Just look at the public health studies yourself and understand that there is a direct link between how we are willing to display Native American histories, Native American traditions, and Native American honors and how they exist on the land of their origin. That's not happenstance, dog. It's not just the case that where and how we isolate and disenfranchise the Native peoples of this country has happened the way that it has. Because people do not take them seriously for their culture and for who they are. And that's a direct result of things like the team name in Washington. Ain't got nothing to do with no flag. All right? I'm not here for the track switching on this, y'all. We can stay focused. This ain't the kids' table. My point is, I don't need it to be offensive to everyone for that to be the standard for reasonable change. That is rooted in a notion of soft supremacy that I don't buy. All right? It doesn't make sense in 2020 to be rolling around with a team name that so many people find odious at all. That's what this comes down to. What side of history are you going to be on? What are you defending? You want to sit around and argue so that you can think about John Riggins running the ball down the field and scream some word? Is that really what it is? The tradition of a band that you probably never seen with your own eyes in your life? That's what you're upholding? Come on, dog. That's not what we do around here. That doesn't make sense. There are things that we can all think about collectively and just say, you know what? We'll all be better for it if we decide to do something differently. First Take, Your Take. I'm Clinton Yates. By the way, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor. Plus, mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Coming up, we're taking more calls because we got a lot more to say. I'm Clinton Yates.